Welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Central Catskill region. When I talk with my friends who are older adults like me, we regularly talk about whether our forgetfulness is a sign of dementia. None of us wants that diagnosis for ourselves or for those we love. Most of us know people who have been caregivers for people with dementia and have witnessed the emotional toll that it takes on family and friends, as well as the person who has the dementia. Shan Dakin aspires to be a dementia-friendly community, and I love that concept, and recently received a grant from the Mother Cabrini Health Foundation through the Pine Hill Community Center to support this work. And here to talk with us about the grant and what it entails are two special guests who have joined me in the studio, and it's really nice to have people in the studio, not just by phone. Let me first introduce Dr. Patricia Ruane. Did I say your name right?
Ruane.
Oops, wait a minute. Let me turn your mic on. Ruane. And Patricia is the president of Catskill Neighbors Incorporated, which we'll talk more about, and she wrote the grant. Thank you for coming in today, Patricia.
Thank you for having us, Diana.
And I also have with us Mark Wagner, who is a board member. I understand a fairly new board member, Mark, who is a member of the Catskill Neighbor Organization. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
And I'm going to have you move your mic up a little bit for so we can hear you better. Yes, good. So, Mark, I actually would like to start with you because I understand that in addition to being on the board of Catskill Neighbors, you've had personal experience with caring for someone with dementia. Would you share something about that story?
Sure. My wife, Judy, of 36 years, was diagnosed with dementia, early onset dementia, back in 2008 at the Pearl Barlow Memory Center at NYU. She had a very long and protracted journey with the disease, starting in around 2000, where she was diagnosed with a mild cognitive impairment, and which started her journey. Actually, it led to the formal diagnosis of Alzheimer's in 2013. She retired in 2008 because she no longer felt that she could do her job. She was a registered nurse clinician, worked for a pharma company running clinical trials.
Wow.
And so all together, it started around 2000, and she passed away late in 24.
Wow.
So over a 20-year journey, of which I was her primary caregiver during all of that.
Well, I'm sorry that you both had that experience. It's not an easy one.
No, it's not. It's called the long farewell for a reason. It's
say more of that.
Well, it's a lot of anxiety around it, right? It's you kind of go through the same sort of grief you do when someone dies, because you know they have a terminal disease, so you've got the anxiety around that. You know, the same thing. Sometimes you're angry about it. Sometimes you're anxious about it. And it's a lot for, you know, obviously for her. She's actually experienced it. But neither one of us were from New Jersey, where we were living at the time, so we didn't have family around. It was truly just her and I, and with support from neighbors that managed to, you know, to get through it. So.
And it takes a toll on somebody to be a caregiver in general, but for somebody with dementia that you love, you're having to watch their memory of you and your life together fade.
Yeah, I remember the first time when she didn't remember my name, you know, and that was about 2 years before she died, and it was crushing. I don't have any other word for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, to be candid, I told Patricia I'd been somewhat anxious about this interview just because, you know, she passed away about 18 months ago, still feels like last week for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so. I'm sorry for your loss and sorry what you experience. It's not easy. I do have a question because I am a nurse and I do think about what would I do if I was diagnosed with dementia. Did she talk when she was diagnosed about her wishes?
Well, we'd had so many conversations, right? Because, and she had seen multiple neurologists around it. And finally, I was in pharma as well, and we had got hooked up with the Pearl Barlow Memory Center at NYU. We were living in New Jersey then, so we could take the train in. And I just, she went through a whole battery of tests there, and they were just starting to use PET scan technology to actually diagnose the disease. And I remember... Well, we had actually just bought the house in the Catskills as a second home, and we went. All the test results were due in the following week from that, where we got the news from Dr. Melanie Schulman, who was the head of that department, and she told Judy with a 95% probability that she felt that because of the test cognitive test results as well as the PET scan results that she had Alzheimer's disease. Mm. And I remember Judy looking at her and going, I'm so relieved. And I'm sitting there crying, and Judy's going that she's relieved because she had been in this battle for so long, and everybody kept telling her that it was just stress, it was just this. And to actually get the diagnosis, reinforce what she knew about herself.
Yeah.
But that was her response.
That's really interesting. Really interesting. Well, leave it to the nurse.
She was always very pragmatic as nurses.
Yes. 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 Well, thank you for sharing that. I'd like to get into a little bit more about some of the challenges at one point, but maybe we could shift a little bit to Patricia, you telling us about Catskill Neighbors and how you got involved in this initiative around creating a dementia-friendly community in Chandaigua.
Well, just very briefly, Catskill Neighbors is an organization that sits at the place where Greene, Ulster, and Delaware counties meet. And that is strategic and deliberate because services that are countywide services do not find their way to the ends of their counties. And so this organization, Catskill Neighbors, was founded by Reverend Ralph Darmstadt, who is very well known in this area and who started the Darmstadt Homeless Shelter in Kingston. But Ralph was very concerned, particularly after Hurricane Irene, with the isolation of elders in this part of the county. We are a rural county. When people get old, their children take their car keys away for the right reasons, usually, and then they're stuck. Mm. And so he founded Catskill Neighbors as a way for volunteers to reach out to their neighbors and help as they could with rides to the doctor or rides to the supermarket or just a social encounter. And so that's how we started. And in fact, my first encounter with Mark and Judy was a response to Mark calling the organization saying, I kind of need some help. And so what the organization does is it sends me out in Ulster or my counterpart, Gary Cusin, in Delaware or Greene, to do what we call an intake. So I went and met Judy and Mark in their home, realized that Mark was a full-time caregiver, needed some respite support. And so I began first as the volunteer who matched with them, and I would take Judy hiking. This was back when she was feeling very healthy. She was losing a lot of her short-term memory, but was still very capable. But Mark needed breaks, and so we would go for walks. And then I found a wonderful volunteer who continued to do that and worked with them actually up until Judy's death. So what happens with the volunteers is they become part of the family. Mm. But meanwhile, let me tell you what else happened. I said to Mark, by the way, Mark, I have a lady who has dementia who lives by herself in Olive Bridge. She really doesn't remember to shop or get food for herself, and I worry about her. So Mark and Judy took on Norma, another person that we needed to help but didn't have anybody to help. So even while Mark was working and dealing with supporting Judy, he was including Judy in his support of Norma, and they became family. Mm. So what happens in Catskill Neighbors is this very beautiful extension of people to people, neighbor to neighbor, in a way that creates family bonds, where your family, as Mark said, family is distant, this becomes family. So this is a personal example because Mark is sitting right here, but my organization realized that, and so did Reverend Darmstadt, we have a growing problem in this area of people who are aging in place, sometimes with supports, often without, and with family that may be close by or may be distant, and caregivers who are overwhelmed and no services for these people. So Ralph Moranti from the Methodist Church in Phoenicia and Woodstock said, I have an opportunity to get some money from the Methodist Church. What do we need for seniors? And Catskill Neighbors' response was, we need a social club for people experiencing cognitive decline. In our area, I would say 65 and older residents, we represent 35% of the population and growing. And I think within that population, the statistics are that about a third of those people are going to get dementia. And so we said, this is what the need is, and there's nothing for those people out here. So we applied for a first grant from the Methodist New York City Society Bethany Fund. That came through at only a portion of what we needed. So we said, wow, what can we do? And we decided we have to look at it as a cup half full. And so we then banged the bushes. We went around to restaurants and said, would you provide a monthly lunch? They said yes.
Nice.
Because everybody understood that this is an issue. Almost everybody in a rural community is touched by this disease. They have a relative. They have an in-law. They have a neighbor. Everyone understands that it's extremely difficult on the caregiver as well as the person with the disease. So the response was wonderful. We offered a training that was sponsored by the Office for Aging in Ulster County. 40 people came, and that's big for a rural community. And what we realized is half of those people were dealing with someone with dementia, and the other half were people who were interested in contributing something. So from that, we launched our first program, which was a Monday social club in Phoenicia at the Methodist Church that runs from 10 to 3. And that is a beautiful program. We have about Absolutely. We have about 10 regular people. We have about 20 volunteers who sort of rotate through depending on their schedule. And we have a wonderful group of artists and musicians who volunteer time to come and interact with our group. And it's been so wonderful that that prompted us to go for the Mother Cabrini grant. And we did that actually through the St. John, St. Francis de Sales Parish. So that money is coming through the parish, but is being re-granted, if you will, to the Pine Hill Community Center. So the Pine Hill Community Center and its board are thrilled to be able to host a second day. And that's going to happen on Thursdays beginning July 9th. So we're currently training new volunteers and recruiting families. And we're getting some calls from people from Roxbury, from Margaretville. We're very happy to be serving this side of the county and that county nexus where the three counties meet. So we're gearing up for that, very excited about it. Like the Methodist Church, Pine Hill Community Center is just doing everything they can to make this as easy as possible. There's no rent. We're not having to pay any overhead. And they're just really being wonderful. And local restaurants in the Margaretville, Fleischmann's area are also stepping up to say, yes, we've heard about this program, and we will support it with lunches there. So, you know, to just say a little bit more about the Dementia Friendly, the training is to help everybody in the community understand what the disease is and how to interact with people with the disease. So, for instance, we know that if someone adamantly feels something is true, you don't disagree with them because that makes them agitated. And I'll tell a little story. We have a woman who comes to the Monday program. At every Monday at about 1 o'clock, she looks out the window and says, I'm looking for my husband. He's coming to pick me up. Her husband is not picking her up. Her husband is deceased. But no one is telling that. Yeah. When she says, this is a beautiful dessert, I'd like to wrap it up and bring it home to my husband, we wrap it up and send it home with her. Because we don't need to raise a painful reality with her that she's not able to really understand. Grasp at that point. Yeah. The other thing that we do is we bring in some of the homeschoolers. And we have a volunteer who brings in her one-year-old, and that one-year-old is so gregarious. She smiles at everybody, and when these folks with cognitive decline, some of whom have lost a lot of language, when they put out their arms, this little girl climbs into their laps. So we're trying to normalize the experience for everybody that, yes, it's okay that you are experiencing cognitive decline. You're still a treasured and valued member of this community, and we want everybody, young and old, to feel happy to see you, to be with you, and to welcome you.
That's beautiful, Pat. Patricia, thank you. And I want to drill down into some of the details of what's coming up, but I want to turn back to Mark Wagner. So it sounds like Catskill neighbor and Patricia were almost a lifeline for
Without
you.
Doubt.
Say more about that.
No, it was interesting. We moved full-time. We'd owned our house up here in Catskill since 2013, but we moved up here full-time in 2020. And I knew when I moved up here that, you know, there were many more resources available in New Jersey than there would be in rural New York.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'd had our house here long enough that we knew a few people. We loved the area. And as Patricia said, June and I were both very avid hikers and all of that. And so just the tranquility, you know, we have, you know, an acre and a half of ground on Stony Clove Creek, right? I mean, we live in a beautiful part of Phoenicia. And so we made the move up here. The first thing that Judy missed was we'd been very close with our next door neighbors. And the lady there was a really close friend of Judy's. She missed having women friends. So I could do a lot of things for her, but I couldn't, you know, scratch that itch, as they say. So I started looking around, you know, trying to find people to help me. And actually, I talked to Judith Bromley, who's involved in this space in Kingston, and she sent me to Patricia.
Great.
And so Patricia stepped in, gathered other volunteers. They started taking Judy out for walks. It just totally brightened her day and really changed her demeanor about things. So it truly was a life-saving.
And speak a little bit about the importance for you of having sort of that respite, that period of time when you're not having to watch out for your wife.
You know, by the time we got to the point that we were living here, right, this had been a long journey already. And, you know, I was really carrying out, you know, most of the burden for that, especially once I retired, because I retired to take care of her full time in 2018. So, you know, I'd already had multiple years of 24/7. We were together, right? And my health was, I'd had some health issues myself in 2017, ended up with, I had some cardiovascular problems, and I got hospitalized, and then everything just kind of started to close in a bit. My stress levels spiked. We were trying to move to get up to the Catskills. And by the time I moved us, because I moved us by myself again, you know, I was pretty afraid, just to be candid. And but again, what I was looking for, which was a community and neighbors, because I really believe in that motto, I found all that there. And to the point that Patricia made earlier, these folks are my family now. They're more than just my neighbors. So it truly did. I can't even articulate, you know, how important it's been to me.
Yeah. Well, it's great. So let's talk about what you want people to know about what's coming up. What is coming up, Patricia?
Okay, so actually, we have some specific training for volunteers at the Pine Hill Community Center on June 11th and June 18th. These are two Thursdays from 1 to 3. We're deliberately picking Thursday because we're hoping to find people who, in fact, have time on Thursday so that once we open the club in July, they might be available and might say, yes, I'm ready to volunteer. And whether that volunteering is for a part of the day or for the months that they're here, but not the months that they may be traveling or whatever, we can be flexible. So we're really eager to welcome people, particularly so that we can teach them some communication skills for engaging with people with cognitive decline. The people that we work with are really a range of seriousness in terms of their disease. We have, as I said, some people who have lost a lot of language, but when they come to the club, there's a feeling of welcome and acceptance, not for who you were, but for who you are right now. Mm. And there's great love that is communicated so they can relax and they can, in fact, find some words for things in a setting where people are just really all about making them feel happy and successful. So there's that sort of range. Some of the people that come don't think they belong there. This is funny. They think they're there helping other people. Mm. And in fact, they are. And they're being friends with some of those people. But in fact, their caregivers know that they also need to be there. So we try to have a range of people. There's total respect for everybody. And everybody participates in the activity so that I should explain a little. It's a very structured program. It starts with a sort of welcoming and greeting and moves into a movement exercise section, which is very good for these people who may not be getting any structured movement at all. And some of them are not so mobile, but they do have to be able to toilet themselves because it is really a social club. It's not a daycare.
Yeah.
So they have to have a little bit of mobility, but not much. And so we go from there into a lovely lunch. We have language activities that start out in pairs. So we will match a volunteer with a particular member, and they'll become comfortable with that person and with those that person's needs language-wise. And they'll try to prompt and evoke some conversation, which can be captured in a little, like, journal, okay? Nice. And then it gets shared. After lunch, we have activities that are anywhere from sing-alongs of oldies, which, interestingly, people with cognitive decline can really do that.
Yes.
Because they remember Under the Boardwalk, okay? Or art activities that are very open-ended. And I would say they kind of resemble Montessori for people who know that educational system, where you put people in the presence of interesting and stimulating materials and then give them the opportunity to work with those materials so that what people come up with is quite wonderful. But nobody's saying color red here.
Yes.
You know, it's not, we're not treating people like kindergartners. We're treating people like interesting adults who have life experience, and some of them are quite artistic and have a lot of background. So we're enabling all that. But we have everything from people from raptor organizations who come and spend an hour and share owls and Kestrel falcons to a gentleman named Hoppy Quick, who might be someone that people know, who does chainsaw sculptures of bears.
Yes.
So it's high interest art presentation, music, and people have just a very stimulating environment and a wonderful day. And interestingly, the volunteers have as much fun and consider it also a wonderful day.
Great.
They're not suffering by by volunteering. They're really, really participating in a wonderful experience of community with this very special group of people.
So let's reiterate, because we're running out of time here, that, there are going to be two Thursday sessions for people to be trained as volunteers.
Right.
Whatever you can commit. There's
whatever
it's not prescribed.
Commit. Right.
June 11th and June 18th from 1 to 3. Where at?
At the Pine Hill Community Center, which is on Main Street in Pine Hill. Any information, you can get go on our website, Catskill Neighbors, www.catskillneighbors.org, or call our automated line, which is 845-280-0459.
One
Leave
more time?
A message.
One.
Okay, 845-280-0459. Leave a message. We will get back to you and answer any and all questions. Again, we're so flexible that we really can accommodate
Great.
Whatever time and energy and interest you have.
And then the social club itself will start on Thursday,
July 9th.
Yes. It will go from 10 to 3?
That goes from 10 to 3, and we would do an intake. So the same number, same phone number, 845-280-0459, to say, I have a family member that I think might be a good candidate for the club.
Great.
And we will follow up. We're recruiting. We have space.
Great. And just to clarify, the caregiver does not have to come with them and stay with them that
That's
day.
Right. I mean, they have to get them there,
yeah.
And they have to pick them up, but they do
Great.
Not have to stay.
Great.
And some of the way this works is sometimes the caregiver stays a little while at the beginning, but then eventually
they
able to leave. But we're very, very relaxed and flexible about
Good.
That. As well.
And that's Dr. Patricia Ruane, who is the president of Catskill Neighbors and who wrote the grant for this. Kudos to you. And Mark Wagner, any parting thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think probably the only thing would be that if you get the opportunity to engage with your community, which I think is severely lacking in general in this world today, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be about, you know, caregiving help or anything else. You know, the future of this world is going to depend on us coming together as
That's
communities
right.
and to make things happen for those in need in our community. So,
well said. And that was well said by Mark Wagner, who is a new member of the board of Catskill Neighbors. Well, my thanks to you both for coming in today and talking about this important community. And I'd like to have you back. And actually, maybe we could do a mini training on the air to help spread the word about how to communicate with people with dementia.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
We look
Thank
forward to it.
You.